Imagine you're on a beach. The sun is glistening brightly, burning its shiny rays into your irises. The sand feels just right on your legs. The soothing wake of the water molding its shape to fit you perfectly. You feel the cool breeze refracting off your skin, your hair flowing in the sprightly wind. You feel the warm, billowing movements of the ocean, spraying water onto your legs, submerging them in its translucent blue cover. You hear the crash of waves, the calming rhythm of a large aquatic body. Far, far off and away, you see two birds, two seagulls, plunging down to the clear, watery depths to procure their next meal. And then, you see a boat in the far distance. Your mind circles and wanders around the idea, the thought of being in a boat. What's it like to be out there, facing the mammoth of infinite blue on all sides? To have that courage to go out there to the far and undiscovered, to take your claim from Mother Nature, not unlike the seagulls would. To you, it's all nothing more than a small blip in your vision. To them, you're completely and utterly insignificant. The sailors are fishing for sport. You can tell. They're casting their rods and reeling up the fish, pulling it out from the gall of the ocean. And then, they admire their catch, pat themselves on the back for obtaining such a nice and large trophy. Maybe, if the fish is lucky, they'll get memorialized. They'll take a photo of it in its bleeding and suffocating, dying state. They'll capture its lowest moments spread around with all their sailor friends. Or they could just untuck the fish, throw it out to sea, let it bleed to death. Old and alone. How sickening. To those sailors, that's just another day. Another catch. Another impressive photo. They don't ever consider the fish. The fish they tempted and baited to trust them, just to hook into their mouth, to pull and pull and pull. Till the fish is suffocating, dying, crying for its freedom and hating itself for even taking the bait. Just like that, the fish, the one that's out of season or too young or too old, whatever, it's just cast aside, thrown out like a worthless piece of trash, left to bleed out of the deep, dark underbellies of Mother Nature's blue beast. Sailors are selfish, cruel people who act only for their own intent, who never consider the harm they cause others. Worst part? Return to shore, having hurt, endangered, killed dozens, maybe hundreds of fish. I leave with a guilt-free conscience. After all, Sailor didn't kill a real being. They killed an it. And you're so distracted, so disgusted by their actions, that you don't even spot the violent storm brewing, inching ever closer from the horizon. The dark, dense clouds envelop you, surrounding the beach in a deep, suffocating haze. The soft, calm tide becomes violent. The long tendrils of the sea pull you closer and closer and closer to the deep, unimaginably vast void of the ocean. You thrash and struggle, trying to break free of the intemperate riptides. You struggle for air to feel that same cool breeze you once found comfort in. But you can't. New strength. You stop struggling. And you let yourself be controlled by the whims of nature. No longer do you need to fight back or decide for yourself. You're at peace, just as you were on the surface. You stop longing for your feet to feel the sand. You stop longing for air. You simply live, traveling wherever the current wants to take you. And for a while, you're content. But you're hungry. So, so hungry. try to eat, to feed off the live fish, but you're not able to catch any. Your clumsy human hands not nimble enough to grasp the aquatic life. You almost give up all hope for, well, everything. Allowing yourself to wither away in the tide. Until you find the near-dead, decaying body of a fish bleeding from the mouth, an open scar from a fishing hook. The same fish the sailors caught earlier, wasn't it? Nevertheless, you have no other choice. You grab it in its weakened and hapless state. You take your first bite. The fish deserved this, after all. And then, you feel a sharp sting in your mouth.
This episode contains depictions of gaslighting, implied abuse, body horror, medical examinations, and a generally uncomfortable aura. Listener discretion is advised. Please enjoy the 7th episode of Smile Grove, where I suppose all your dreams come true. So, that's the part where you usually wake up.
Yeah.
An awfully irregular dream. Now, you said it was recurring. How many times have you had that dream? A
dozen times. Maybe 2 dozen. Far too many.
And when do you remember first having the dream?
I don't know. A long time ago. Can we stop talking about this? It's, kinda...
Well, I just think it's really odd to have such a specific dream that many times. We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, though. The last thing I'd ever want is for you to feel uncomfortable.
Thanks.
Nevertheless, I'd like to be the first to congratulate you for making it to the halfway point of your 8-week treatment plan.
It's only been 4 weeks.
Oh, yes. I know it can feel like you're perpetually stuck in a never-ending existence where each day seems to last weeks. But I assure you that none of it, nothing of the sort, is happening. You're just merely experiencing the cognitive results of prolonged scheduled monotony. I promise you'll be done before you know it. Oh, I am getting sidetracked, aren't I? Apologies.
It's all right.
So, today we're just going to be doing a bit of talking, checking up on the physical and mental side of things. Mainly filling out your deregistration form. You know what a deregistration form is, don't you?
Not really.
Well, it's basically an advanced version of a school sign-out sheet. We'll set up your scheduled release date, the parental guardian picking you up, and, and your plan for the immediate future. Does that all sound all right with you?
All right.
So, to start with, I'll need you to disrobe again. We'll just have to do another physical exam, make sure you aren't putting yourself under any unneeded harm.
What qualifies as needed harm?
If you need to ask, you probably already know. Now, please mind stepping out of that robe for me. I need to observe you for any form of recent injury. I can't have my patients harming themselves on my watch now, can I?
There.
Excellent. Mind if I read your arm?
I don't have much of a choice, do I?
Attaboy, you're a quick learner. Remember, this is for your benefit. These marks right here look a bit redder than the others. You haven't been managing to cut yourself again, have you?
No. I swear, I haven't been.
Might just be my imagination. My eyesight's sure been failing me in my older years.
How old are you?
Oh, don't you know it's rude to ask a doctor their age? I'm just kidding with you. I'm 42. Though that's not particularly relevant for you.
Please tell me I'm allowed to put my hospital robe on now.
Oh, if you want to. Though I have something you'll far prefer.
What's this?
It's your new clothes. Or rather, your old clothes. They're in this bag. Go ahead, feel free to take it.
These are my favorite shirts.
I know.
Where'd you get them?
Well, your father brought them over, of course. Is everything all right? Did I misspeak?
It's just, I'm pretty sure it wasn't him who brought it over.
Oh, that's right. My bad. Your real father abandoned you 9 years ago, didn't he?
Bluntly, yeah. How did you...
Well, it's all in the files. We've got quite an extensive record on you.
Good to know.
It must have been your stepfather who...
Please don't... Please. Just... Let's not talk about him.
All right. Like I said, the last thing I want is to cause you any sort of discomfort.
Thanks.
Now, how are those medications treating you?
Fine.
Let me guess, that's a bit of a sore subject as well.
Yes.
You're quite a difficult patient to talk to, what with all these sore subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Not my place to judge, however. And I'm pretty sure you know the 10-point scale by now. How's your depression going?
If I could, I'd actually like to talk...
On a scale of 1 to 10.
1.
And anxiety?
1.
Now isn't that an excellent improvement? Congratulations. You deserve a prize for your effort. Not that I have anything to give you. Got it. I'll ask Michelle to give you an extra movie time snack. Now, there was something else we needed to do, wasn't there?
I think I had to fill out a patient deregistration form or something.
Ah, that's right. You have a great memory. Just give me a moment to compile my paperwork. Here we are. So, mind telling me about the person picking you up?
My mother, Sarah Warren, lives on 3349 Cranberry Drive. Phone numbers 237-448-1814. Anything else?
Well, of course there's more. Anyone could just show up, impersonate her, and then snatch you away. You wouldn't want to be kidnapped, would you? Tell me about her, so I can tell the real her from any vile kidnappers.
God... All right, then. She's an old, wrinkly hag of a woman. Smells mostly like alcohol, or another man's cologne. You can tell if it's her if she can't walk in a straight line. And you should hear her voice. It has this trademark rasp from all those years yelling at me. And everyone else. Is that a clear enough depiction for you? Would you like a wanted poster?
Well, you seem rather happy to verbally degrade her. I presume you don't have the best relationship with your mother?
Not really.
Would you mind elaborating?
She didn't take my dad's, well, her husband's disappearance all that well. I was a kid then. I don't know why or how it happened, but... I saw her wilt away in the years afterwards. She'd drown herself in cheap booze every night or find a new pet to have a fling with.
And I presume one of these flings was with...
Yep. He was on and off with her for years, really. He'd always find some new excuse to break her heart and worm his way back, though. Like some evil, heart-eating parasite.
Is there anything that made him different from her other partner?
Ugh, don't... call them that. And no. Or, I don't know. There's just something that's not good about him. more than the rest of them.
And your stepfather, he's...
Ugh.
All right, your mother's fiancé. He's her... Well, I suppose the question's redundant now.
Yes, he's her fiancé.
They must have been affianced, as you young folks say, a little bit before you ended up at this facility. Any correlation?
No one has ever said affianced. Ever. And no, no correlation.
Thank you for that. Now, here's what I think our plan for the future should be. I'll arrange for you to be withdrawn in about 4 weeks. I'll have your mother come and pick you up.
Thanks.
Hold up there, eager beaver. We're going to work on a few ways to manage that depression of yours.
Right.
Well, we'll hop you up on meds, sure, if you really believe that's what you need. But that's not it, is it? Forgive me if I'm speaking out of line, but I think you're exaggerating quite heavily. Yes, you do have an absentee parent, but so do 7% of children. And you clearly have a loving stepfather. He brought you your favorite shirts, right?
I...
Pretty much everyone here has it worse than you do. And this is one of the lucky groups. So here's what I'd say. Just suck it up. And control your emotions like the adult you almost are. Quit being dramatic. You're all right. All right.
All right.
Good. Glad to see we're in agreement. Now, is there anything else you want to talk about? Do you want to maybe open up about why you hate everyone so much?
There was more to my dream. At least the past few times.
Oh, this again. Go on, let's hear it.
Ever since I've been here, the dream's gotten longer. Yeah, the worst parts feel like they're dragging on more, but it's literally getting longer. When I eat the fish, I get my mouth caught on the hook. I feel what the fish did. That pulling, pulling, pulling sensation. Till I'm wishing they just ripped my throat out already and be done with it. I can't breathe. I make it to the surface. I can't breathe. The sailor who caught me pulls me to his boat. I can't breathe. He, with a wispy face contorted and covered in shadows, stares at me. Stares at me. No, stares through me. I can't breathe. Just like that, he stabs me in half. I can breathe. I'm breathing.
And then... Well, Nikolai, I think I've heard enough. That's a very interesting story. You should write it down sometime. Anyways, I have a call to make. Go back to your room. All right?
All right.
Hello. It's codename J37 calling. I'd like to schedule an appraisal.
This episode was written and directed by Oliver Shane, and edited by Acerenia Blight. The voice of Nikolai was Oliver Shane. The voice of Dr. Grover was Journeyman Vance. All original music in this episode was composed by Oliver Shane, and all audio design was edited by Oliver Shane. Smile Grove, a product of Isotopic Productions, is made possible by our loyal patrons, Blue Galaxy and Marie, as well as listeners like you. Thank you. Does this episode make you spontaneously want to go fishing? Consider checking us out on Patreon at www.patreon.com/isotopicproductions. Do you want to say hi, send art of our show, or talk with like-minded fans? Click the link in the show notes to join our public Discord server. Your next appointment is on January 8th, 2023. Keep taking your medication, and I'll see you next year. And now, a Grover-approved message. The tide uses its own method to drag you into the watery depths.